Welcome to the Entrepreneurs Visiting Victor podcast with Victor Dadage, where you'll hear stories and strategies to help increase your sales and grow your business. Here's your host, Victor Dadage.
All right, welcome to Entrepreneurs Visiting Victor. I'm your host, Victor Dadage. I hope you are having an amazing day so far. Today, we have a great guest. He is a standout in the world of entrepreneurship and product development. He is the driving force behind StackGuardPlus.com, a product showcased in over 3,000 retail giants like the Home Depot and Lowe's. Alongside this success, he spearheads two mastermind groups under the prestigious ISI Mastermind banner. He is passionate about personal growth, overcoming obstacles, and dialing in on uniqueness of purpose. He is also the lead coach for Dr. Andy Garrett's True North Blueprint, which helps people become the most resilient people on earth. And in his spare time, he sings on stages all over the country. His voice has been compared to Andrea Bocelli and Josh Groban. Let's welcome David Ask. How are you doing today, David?
What's going on? Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you on. I'd like to get started by asking to please share your story. How did you wind up becoming an entrepreneur?
Man, I tell you what, I grew up in a little town in Minnesota. And, you know, this is like, I'm talking small, one stoplight and about 2,500 people. And there were, you know, several people in that town who, you know, were not just business owners, but they, you know, they just seemed to kind of operate at a, you know, on a different level, right? They had several different irons in the fire. You know, a few guys were, you know, selling certain products. They were into real estate. They just seemed to be, you know, just kind of, I don't know, jet setting a little bit, even for a little town. And I remember when I was young being drawn to that type of a personality and just, you know, like, what are they doing different? And why, you know, what kind of permission did they get to do so many, you know, a variety of such things and that kind of stuff when everybody else, you know, seemed to have such a focus? So I knew early on that I, you know, had a desire to, you know, have a bit more of a, you know, kind of an expansive life, as it were. But of course, you know, early on, you really don't know what that might be. And I really wasn't hanging out with anybody who thought like that. So, you know, I felt like early on in life, I was a bit limited in my, this idea of what was possible. So for many years, I moved to Nashville, Tennessee back in the early 90s. And I, of course, as you mentioned in the intro there, I am a musician. So I've got 5 concerts booked this year. We're going to Germany and Austria. It's fun, by the way, Victor, this summer, my daughter plays with the Vanderbilt Children's Orchestra, and her particular violin school is doing a tour in Germany and Austria. And I actually get to go with them and sing with that group, which is a real treat. While I was, you know, especially my, you know, 20s and 30s doing more music, I knew that I wanted to do something else that was a bit more entrepreneurial. So you know, it was one of those things where, you know, your radar is up, you know, you're kind of looking for something that might be, you know, true to your nature and something you can, you know, get excited about and something, of course, that you have confidence in that if you brought it to market, you know, would have value in the marketplace. So my brother-in-law called me one day and he said, "Hey, David, where do I get a thermostat guard with a combination lock?" And at the time, I was actually doing facilities management for a large telecom chain. I was actually there for about 17 years, and it's a wonderful, wonderful career there. And here's the interesting thing. I knew full well in that moment that that was a really good idea because, you know, we in all of our stores and call centers and so on, you know, we use thermostat guards because if you've got more than 2 people in any, you know, facility, as it were, whether it's your home or, you know, an office, whatever, we all get the thermostat wars. So we had to protect those because everybody kept jacking around with them. And of course, the energy bills would skyrocket because, you know, in Tennessee, especially in the summertime, it's hot. And, you know, the sales staff would like it at about 65 degrees on the showroom floor. And so anyway, when he called me, you know, I started looking around. We talked a few times and I said, you know, we can't find one. So we were the first ones in the world to make a stat guard with a combination lock. A few years after we started that business, he got really busy in his construction company, and I ended up buying him out. And a year after that, I got into the Home Depot chain, and which was, just a marvelous opportunity and a bit of a pipe dream, honestly. And started to, as a budding entrepreneur, right? You're like, boy, what's possible now? You get a couple of wins, and it really starts to expand your thinking. So, that was 7 years ago, and about almost 2 years ago, we got into the Lowe's chain as well. And just a few weeks ago, got into the True Value Hardware distribution channel. And now we're, of course, selling to the True Value independent owners and so on. But that's kind of the long and short of it, as it were.
Got it. So basically, when you were a kid, you were watching people who seem to be doing different things, and pretty much just says someone doing real estate, and you found that very attractive. You were drawn to it. But also, when you're growing up, your crowd around you didn't really think that big. So, which bring up an important point. Very often, you want to be successful, you need to surround yourself with people who are successful, who think big, who think differently from other people. They say you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So that's something very important. You realize growing up, you didn't have that. But you were always interested in that. And then in the 90s, you moved to Nashville, you got into music, and that's one of your passions. And you also mentioned you'll be performing in Germany. And your daughter's performing with the Vanderbilt Children's Orchestra. And see, a wonderful thing is you both get to play together. So I know you're going to really enjoy doing that this summer. But you were doing music for a while, but you know you want to do something more entrepreneurial. And then a conversation with your brother-in-law changed everything. He asked you about, creating a thermostat guard with a combination lock. You thought to yourself, that's a really good idea because so many places need that. And so that's something you worked on. And then later on, you bought them out. And then later, you started working with Home Depot, which is about 7 years ago. A couple years ago, you're with Lowe's, and now you're with True Value. So, and you mentioned something very important. You had a couple wins, and that really encouraged you to realize you could do more, you can grow more, you could think more big. And it's important to celebrate those wins because you get two or three of those wins, you start thinking to yourself, you know what? This is possible. I can do it. So, I'm sure that's been part of your thinking. So, actually, would you mind talking a little bit more about the importance of, mindset, and has personal development been an important part of your journey as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess I'll go back to kind of your comment about, you become like, the people you spend the most time with. I'll be honest, I think that's a law like gravity, or thermodynamics. And how do we know that's true? Is because, our parents, right? Or those of us who have children, we don't want our kids getting caught up in the wrong crowd. We know full well, very instinctively, for children especially, right? You don't want them hanging out with the troublemakers. And so what does that mean? It means that is absolutely true. And so what was fascinating is my personal development. I've always been kind of interested in that. Podcasts and books and things like that. And I guess really self-awareness and things like that have really been front and center in my life. But what really took that to the next level was about 6 years ago, I joined a mastermind group called Iron Sharpens Iron, ISI. And of course, you start hanging out with, people who are like you, meaning they have an entrepreneurial, spirit, they're forward thinking. They join a group like that because they, in essence, they don't know what they don't know. And they understand that that's where, those next steps are really, found and forged is, hanging out with like-minded people who can fill in those gaps. And what I love about ISI is I tell people quite often, because some masterminds are just, kind of revolve around business, where ISI is a bit more holistic. So I say, you know, I have a band of brothers for my personal life, and I have a virtual board of directors, as it were, you know, for my business. And it's been life-changing. Some of the people that I met early on, especially when you're vulnerable, right? Especially when you start talking about some insecurities and fears and so on, you've got people then that want you to win, and they read your label. They remind you of your strengths and help you in your areas of weakness and just help you to think differently. And it's funny, in my core group, we've got Dr. Andy Garrett, who I work with very closely with another project I'm working on. He's a clinical psychologist. I mean, his whole mission in life is to help people, build self-awareness and smash obstacles and get over, some fear and so on. So he's largely had a wonderful impact in my life. But then, there's a few other guys in that group that have, I think of Ty and Curtis and Glenn and David and some of these guys. They jump into the deep end of the pool with me almost every single day, and I do with them as well. So we're talking all the time, everything from, okay, I'm building a new website, I need some help, to, guys, I woke up this morning and I just feel like I'm kind of behind the eight ball and, struggling with some fear here this morning. Can you kind of help me work through this? And, so they ask great questions and, give some encouragement. And I love this idea, by the way, of loaning courage, or borrowing courage, as it were. And that's success, of course. And I think you kind of alluded to this. It's never found alone. If that African proverb that says, "Go fast, go alone. Go far, go together." And anybody who's, done something of great value, as it were, they've had a lot of help along the way. And that's very much my story.
No, thanks for sharing that. And you mentioned the fact that parents instinctively know that there are certain kids they don't want their kids to hang out with because they know they're a bad influence. So they understand who you surround yourself makes a big difference in your life. And you talked about your mastermind group, Iron Sharpens Iron. And the mastermind group was made popular by Napoleon Hill in his book, Think and Grow Rich. And it's been used by so many successful people. It makes a huge difference. And you share your experience. It's made a huge difference in your life and in your career. And it's helped you so much in your success because of what you've learned from your fellow mastermind members. You guys support each other, you help each other out with your vulnerabilities, and just that encouragement and just learning from them, it's been so powerful for you. And it just helped you so much. And if you don't, and to the people listening to this podcast episode, I highly recommend, if you don't have a mastermind group, definitely look into getting one. There are mastermind groups all over the country, all over the world. So definitely look for it. It makes a big difference. As you can tell with David, it's made a huge difference in his life. It's helped me out a lot too. And there's so much synergy in there. You'd be amazed, just getting a group meeting whenever, every week, every other week, once a month, whatever it is. As long as you're meeting on a regular basis, it's going to make a big difference. And I like the term you use, borrowing courage. It's I like that. And you finish with, success is never found alone. Yeah, you can't really succeed on your own. You need the help of certain people along the way. Trying to do it on your own is just so difficult. So yeah, you're going to need help from various people throughout your journey. So definitely a lot of good stuff there. The next thing I want to ask you is, what are some of the top things you need in your life to break through various obstacles? I'm sure you've gone through different obstacles in your path to success. So what are some of the things you need to do to overcome? Because everyone's going to deal with adversity and obstacles. Unfortunately, some people let it stop them and they quit. So what do you need to do to overcome it and to make sure you don't quit?
And so I'll kind of tee up that topic with this. I just started writing a book a couple months ago called The Guardians of Grit. And so I work, like I said, closely with Dr. Andy Garrett. And it's these concepts of grit and resilience and so on are sometimes misunderstood. Excuse me. And really the genesis of true grit, what is that, and how do you really harness, an internal, truth, an internal fuel to really do hard things over a long period of time, because what's on the other side of that hill is worth it. That's grit. Whereas resilience is, likening it to a basketball, right? If you smash it down on the ground really hard, really fast, right? It loses its shape for just a moment, but it bounces back real quickly, to what? A predetermined, describable, aesthetic. I mean, it has a circumference, it has, a GPS coordinates, as it were, to describe what, and better yet, as people, right, who are you bouncing back to? So resilience and grit are built by, understanding, who is coming to the table here. And of course, when we walk people through, the Guardian's coursework, it's really, I like to say it this way, Victor. When people get done with the coursework, I say, "Hey, I'm David Ossk. Let me introduce you to yourself." Because I believe that what people have inside of them, if they've not identified it, their life is really rough, but what they have inside of them, and I'm talking that not just what's true about you, but what the truest things about you, your highest, the Stoics used to call it your summum bonum, your highest good, the greatest good. What are your core values? And I'm talking, what does your core happen to value most of all? When you start describing those things, it's going to be different, from the person next to you. There's a hierarchy of things that rise to the top for each of us, individually. And I like this idea, by the way. I got it from a Nissan commercial. What is it that gives your goosebumps? Like, what is it that's just like when you are acting in alignment, with that, or, what is it that just stirs you to the point where the kind of the hair on the back of your neck is standing up and you're standing on some holy ground when you're doing it. And that's different for everybody. And that's why, we have a fingerprint, a retina scan, and I really believe our souls have a really unique print on them. So when you act in an authentic way, right? That word authenticity comes from the word author, right? We didn't make us. So you have to identify what has been woven into you. But what's fascinating is when you laser in on that, right? I didn't choose my eye color, my taste buds, or my personality. We didn't choose anything. You get to choose what you do with it. And how do we know that's true? It's because, those of us who have kids or we have siblings, right? We come out of the gate very hardwired. My kids are so different from one another. Me and my siblings were so different. And when you're, age 0 to, 6 or 7 or something, right? You're not thinking about being authentic. You're just doing your deal. You're acting in alignment with what comes naturally to you. So what's fascinating is when you identify your authenticity, right? Your identity. You're identifying those things that are absolutely fantastic about you, goosebumps, motivations, core values, things like that. And you keep those things front and center. Well, you start operating in a capacity that feels genuine. You start to feel resilient because you've removed that question mark, right? If I get knocked down, I know exactly why I'm getting up, and I know not to what, but to who. And with regards to grit, you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror. And you've already predetermined what is valuable to you, as opposed to you're looking for some type of an accomplishment for other people to assign value to you. You're looking for other people to applaud your efforts or your accomplishments. And so grit, if it's really, I think, truly understood, it comes from a very deep place in us. It's this idea of, goosebumps, or what is it that makes me mad? Right, that I'm willing to fight for this. That's where that word passion comes from, the word suffer. And then, or what breaks my heart? What problem, in this world do I want to, help solve in a really unique way? And again, for everybody, that's very different, and they have to answer those questions. But I think that, again, to your question, grit is ultimately understood through intrinsic motivation, internal motivation. as opposed to extrinsic, which is you're handing the keys, if you will, to everybody around you to somehow tell you that you're good enough.
Yeah, so basically, you summed it all up. We just said the internal motivation, because that's the thing that's longest lasting. And I think, as you alluded to, one mistake a lot of people make is they look for external motivation, and which means you're at the mercy of how people feel about you, and that could just be up and down. They may like you one moment and not like you the next moment, and then you're crushed. So getting that internal motivation, it helps you develop that grit and resilience you talk about. Basically, you want to know what is it that drives you, what makes you passionate, what problems you want to solve, what is it you want to do with your life, what is it that motivates you, what's going to make you happy, make you angry, that you want to take care of things. You mentioned passion comes from the word for suffering. And you talk about acting authentically, like kids just act in a way that's genuine. They don't put on a shield, they don't put on a mask. They just act the way that they do. And saying, so you got to figure out what is valuable to you, not what is valuable to others. And what are your core values? So basically, you're saying, look at your needs, your desires, what is deep inside you, and focus on it, bring that out. And you're going to act in a way that's more you instead of acting in a way that's more what people want from you, which can lead to all kinds of issues. So I like to be authentic, be genuine, and look at your core values, what you want. Very powerful stuff there.
You know, one thing I'll add on to that real quick. So my favorite quote here in the last couple of years is by Benjamin Disraeli. He's a former PM of England back in the 1800s, and he says the greatest good you can do for another is not to share with him your riches, but to reveal to him his own. So what I love is identity, is understanding grit and all of that stuff. Is it one-sided? Is it just me, answering, as it were, great questions? Well, that's a large part of it. But the entire point of life, right, is relationships, period. The rest of it, making thermostat guards or whatever else, is a context to experience humans. And so what I love is just like parents raising children, right? When they're young, you're holding up a mirror to your kids, as it were, and saying, "Hey, do you see this? Look at this. This is fantastic." But what I love is, even as adults, our identity then is galvanized by, this is might sound a little touchy-feely, but it's galvanized by someone else loving you and holding up a mirror to you and saying, "Hey, David, hey, Victor, do you see what I see? This is awesome. And when you act in alignment with these things, man, it's powerful. Get after it. It's so that's so largely, right? You have to answer those questions for yourself, but we need each other in order to galvanize those things. And that's when the relationships, really tend to blossom. They go deeper because you've allowed someone into that kind of that sacred space in your life, and they get to say things that are truest about your truest nature.
Yeah, no, I agree. Relationships in all aspects of life, both personal, family, business, they are so huge. They're so key. And I don't think a lot of people realize the value of just relationships. It's totally changed your life. And I like the quote you mentioned from Disraeli saying, don't focus on your riches, but focus on the riches that make the person see the riches that they have in themselves. And you gave the example of how parents, telling the kids, do you see what I see in the mirror? Because sometimes kids don't realize that. So when the parents can show them, like, I this is what I see in you, and when the kids become aware of that, it just totally changes their belief in themselves. And once you change that belief in yourself, the sky is the limit. So I think that's something very beautiful. So one question I wanted to ask you was, one thing you're able to do is, you got your product, you got a lot of success over the years. You got your product into 3,000 stores. So what were some of the challenges you had in doing that? Because I'm sure they didn't happen overnight. I'm sure it took some time. There were some things you had to overcome. So what were some of those challenges you were able to overcome? Because I think a lot of people seem to, some people think that people become successful and there's no challenges, but there are challenges everyone has to overcome. So.
I'll say it this way. The entire process has been nothing but challenges. And it's not for the faint of heart. That's all there is to it. There were, if I'm being honest, there were many, many days, I mean countless days, in the last 10 years in building this business, where I looked in the mirror and I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? Like it's you start to question when the wind blows. It's like, oh my gosh. And I would say the biggest obstacle on the outset was when I was literally sitting on a plane flying to do a concert somewhere, And Home Depot, you know, we've been having conversations, and they finally got back to me after a couple of years and of trying to get their attention. And they said, "Hey, we love your product. We'd like to put it in our stores. Can you do that?" Well, of course I couldn't. You know, I'm working at a retail chain, and I didn't have the money to stock the shelves one time, let alone keep, 20,000 units sitting around to restock. But like Richard Branson, from Virgin Atlantic, whatever, he says, "Say yes and figure it out." So of course I said yes. "Oh yeah, no problem." But you know what? We figured it out. So I ended up finding a partner that I ended up licensing it to, and they've been a fantastic partner over the years. And so yeah, I mean that was kind of the initial huge obstacle, as it were. It was interesting with Lowe's. You know, we started having conversations with them, about a month before COVID hit, and of course, as soon as COVID hit, conversations, ceased. And I mean, go figure, right? And I wasn't sure, after that, if that conversation would even pick up again, for that matter. And of course, me and a million other people, right? I'm not saying that I was the only one, but during COVID, we almost went out of business because I couldn't even get inventory. And so that was a rough patch. And but yeah, so there's some kind of larger moments, as it were, back, throughout the story there that seem more monumental. But every single day there's stuff that pops up, and sometimes you have quality issues, and you've got customers, asking questions and wanting you to develop a different size unit or this and that, and you're not able to help everybody, that kind of stuff. So there's all types of yeah, just obstacles that arise.
No, thanks for sharing that, and I'm glad you mentioned the quote from Richard Branson says, "Just say yes and figure it out," because you weren't sure, but eventually, you get that deal with Home Depot, but you found a partner that was able to help you out, and then things have been working with you guys the last number of years. But you mentioned there are going to be challenges and issues all the time, and you can't predict. Like, no one really predicted COVID, so you were in
Yeah.
talks with Lowe's, and it was right before COVID hit, and then after it hit, the conversation stopped. It was a tough time for you. You almost went out of business, but you were able to persevere and then eventually overcome these challenges. Obviously, not easy. And then now things are going well. But still, there's different challenges every single day, and you can't predict. That's the thing. When you're an entrepreneur, things will pop up. You just don't know what's going to happen. There are going to be new
Yeah.
challenges, new obstacles. It's going to happen. All you need to do is you just got to work on yourself and work on handling those challenges. Say, "I'm going to overcome it." You'll figure out. You may not know it immediately, but realize you will figure out. And that's what you've been doing over the years. So it just
Yeah.
you know it, it'd be nice if life were predictable. Say, "I'm going to do this for the next 20 years." It just doesn't work that way. Things will
No, it
pop up.
doesn't.
You'd be amazed, and like your PayPal account gets shut down, your bank account, whatever gets shut down. Something happens all the time, and you're like, and it's like, oh, and then you got to spend like several days, trying to get this problem resolved. So, but once you get it solved, then it starts, flowing smoothly and just continue.
Yeah.
So, it's just so, but that's what entrepreneurs do. They solve problems. A lot of time, it's their own problems they have to solve, but it comes with
Yeah.
the territory. But there's a lot of great perks, a lot of great things that come with being with it. You make a difference in people's lives. You get time freedom. I mean, right now you're going to be able to go this summer with your daughter and perform in Germany. So I know that's going to be an incredible experience for both of you.
Yeah.
As we're getting toward the end of our interview, are there any last minute pieces of advice you'd like to share with our audience?
I tell you what, you mentioned, just the whole obstacle thing and being an entrepreneur. It's kind of different for entrepreneurs. So I read a book recently. Actually, it's probably been over a year ago now, but it's called Overcoming the Imposter, and it's by a guy named Chris Kelso. It's Chris with a K. And what I love about this book, it's honestly, I couldn't put it down. And it helps entrepreneurs deal with that, that internal struggle. And what he kind of likens, there's a moment in the book where he, sheds some light on some language, this idea of imposter, right? You get up every day and you're like, "Man, who am I to be doing this? Do I have what it takes? And you just feel like everything is so uncertain and new and all this kind of thing. And he said, well, of course it is. You're not an imposter. You're an explorer. It's just, it's the same thing with, you know, the guys back in the day, men and women that busted sod out west, you know, and the westward expansion, as it were. It's, you know, of course they didn't feel like they had what it take. Of course there was uncertainty and fear. You're an explorer. And so it really helped me to shift, you know, this, the mindset, you know, from, you know, fear, you know, I mean, really what grit requires fear. You know, you have to have fear in order to have grit. It's like salty and sweet. And that word explorer to me was, you know, really life-changing in so many ways. So I would just say, you know, if you feel like, you know, the man in the mirror, as it were, is more of the problem than the day-to-day stuff, you know, get a mastermind. If you've got questions about that, you know, reach out to me. And then I'd recommend Overcoming the Imposter by Chris Kelso. Great book.
All right, thanks for mentioning. I'm definitely going to check it out, Overcoming the Imposter, because that's something a lot of people deal with. So yeah. It sounds like a really good book to check out. And you came to realization you're not an imposter, but an explorer. So, and there's going to be fear along the way. Everyone deals with fear. It's part of life. And just got to learn to deal with the fear, take action on it, and not let it stop you. So definitely a lot of good stuff. Listen, Dan, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a real pleasure having you on. Share a lot of great value, a lot of great tips. And I know those that are listening to this episode are definitely learning a lot. And if people want to get in touch with you, what is the best way for them to contact you?
Yeah, so my website is davidosk.com, or my email is hello@davidosk.com.
Awesome. Thanks again, David. Have yourself a great day.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you've enjoyed listening, please smash that subscribe button so you don't miss any of our amazing episodes. Please also leave a 5-star rating review and have an awesome day.